be with you.
Welcome to our service this evening, our Good Friday Tenebrae service. It's a Tenebrae Vespers, so the verses at the beginning we'll chant like we normally do at the beginning of our Vespers service. The psalmody is Psalm 22, which is, of course, what we recognize so well. And at the end of the service, after the readings, after the sermon, we'll go into the bidding prayer, following the bidding prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll do the Passion of Our Lord, which are the seven last words from the cross. And as you can see, we have our candles lit up here for each word from the cross. At the end of which, I don't want you to jump too much, as I take the Christ candle out, there will be a loud noise that symbolizes the agony of Jesus' death and the earthquake and the slamming of the tomb, over the stone over the tomb, followed by which the Christ candle will come back in and will leave in silence. With that, let us begin our service by singing our opening versicles. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. You, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Our psalmody is Psalm 22. We read it responsively. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far forsaking me from the words of my groaning?
O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. We continue our service as we sing our theme hymn, Our Eyes Behold the Savior's Face. Testament reading for this Good Friday is from the 52nd and 53rd chapters of Isaiah, beginning with verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to its own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Our reading tonight from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, beginning with St. John chapter 19, beginning with verse 17. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was fulfilled, the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so that so that he put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with the adoration of Christ. We adore you, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For behold, by the wood of your cross, joy has come into all the world. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, and have mercy upon us. We adore you, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For behold, by the wood of your cross, joy has come into all the world. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's sermon is from actually the 15th chapter of Mark, which is Mark's account of the crucifixion of Christ, beginning with the 21st verse. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them, for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those that who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Dear friends in Christ, this Lenten season, our sermons have been focused on what is seen through the eyes of various different characters in the Passion. From the perspectives of Judas, of Peter, of the chief priests and the scribes, the perspective of Pontius Pilate, maybe the Roman soldiers and the Jewish crowd. Tonight, though, what we're going to do is view Jesus' crucifixion through God's eyes. In other words, what God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit saw, and actually what they accomplished at the cross for us men and for our salvation. So what did God the Father see there on Good Friday? Well, of course, he saw his only begotten Son suffering and dying unjustly on a Roman cross. Can you imagine, though? You imagine watching your own child die in this way? I mean, it's unfathomable. As, of course, as sinful mortals, we really can't understand what it's like to be immortal without end. But the immortal holy God, surely we can understand that the God the Father's heart was grieved beyond all words. Yet, what's even more unfathomable is the fact that God loves you and me so much that He willingly inflicted this on His only begotten Son. St. Paul actually writes that the Father did not spare His own Son, but gave Himself up for us all. And that God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God didn't wait around for us to clean up our act in order for Christ to die for us. He didn't do that. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act first. But while we were ungodly, while we were still enemies of God, He slaughtered His Son in our place under His righteous anger over the sin of the whole world. And that means something really, really profound. It means that we provoked the death of Jesus. Peter preaches this way on the day of Pentecost. He says to the crowds that are gathered there, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." See, the Father gave the Son to the world, but what did Peter say? He said, "You crucified and killed Him." You and me, we did it. So Peter is also talking to us. I mean, that's who he's talking to, not just to those crowds that day. And he isn't offering some kind of anti-Judaic rant, but he's offering up an indictment for all sinners, whether that sinner lived in the first century or in the 21st century. The guilt and the blame, it's all the same. We all crucified the Son of God by our sin. The one Lenten hymn says it beautifully. "I caused your grief and sighing by evils multiplying, as countless as the sands. I caused the woes unnumbered with which your soul is cumbered, your sorrows raised by wicked hands." We did it. And as we acknowledge our sin and our unworthiness, we need to see, in other words, we need to see ourselves as nailing Jesus to the tree. But at the same time, at the very same time, His crucifixion was according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. It was God the Father who had planned this. What value did the Father see in this plan? I mean, the Father saw, and now, of course, all of us can see, that His own glory was manifested to the world on that cross. When Jesus died, He showed us the glory of God. He showed us the love of God. You see, this is what Jesus was praying for there in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before His crucifixion, when Jesus lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, since You have given Him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do." You see, the Father and the Son both glory in having mercy on sinners like you and me, on the forgiveness granted to us. See, that's what they accomplished during Christ's perfect life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. The Father sees all of our sin taken upon Jesus there on the cross, even the sin of crucifying his Son. And moreover, the Father sees his wrath against sin being poured out upon the Son, and then the gates of hell prevailing over him. You see, hell is literally being under God's wrath. And that's what the Father sees Jesus taking in our place for you and for me, for us. And now for the Son's perspective. What did God the Son, what did Jesus see as he's there on the cross? Well, he always knew that that his name means the Lord saves. So he sees himself in one way as the object of his Father's wrath. But he also sees himself as the subject of our salvation. He drinks the Father's wrath all the way down to its dregs, finally crying out in abandonment from his Father, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But this is not the cry of despair. He actually suffers the abandonment from his Father. He suffers the pains of a sinner who is condemned to hell, who is separated eternally from the Father in heaven. But he still looks to his Father with perfect love and trust. Notice what he says. He says, "My God, my God." He cries that out with unbroken faith. And with the words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," he breathes his last. See, he knows his Father still loves him and will raise him from the dead on that third day. Even though in my mind I see God the Father turning away from Jesus with tears streaming down his face. On Good Friday, what does Jesus see when he looks at you and me and all sinners? Well, he recognizes us as the cause of his woe, but he doesn't hold it against us. The Lamb of God bears this willingly. He wants nothing other than to be our Savior. He looks at us, and then he prays that wonderful prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know, for they know not what they do." It's as if he stares into our sinful eyes and says, "I love you all the same. And I and my Father love you so much that we will make this sacrifice for you. I am offering myself under the Father's wrath in your place to save you from your sins and to spare you from hell." So finally, what does the Holy Spirit see? Well, first he sees the Son, and he comes to Jesus' aid as he offers his life as a ransom to the Father. Now, we of course don't know the ins and outs of this, but the Epistle to the Hebrews says that Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God, thus accomplishing our redemption by the blood of his cross. In other words, Jesus had received the Spirit without measure in his baptism. And we know that the Spirit is the helper. So it makes sense that the Holy Spirit not only helped Jesus fulfill all righteousness during his earthly ministry, but also helped him to offer himself to the Father there on the cross. It makes sense. The second thing that the Spirit sees here on Good Friday, he sees that everything necessary for the salvation of sinners is achieved there on the cross by the Son. Again, Jesus had promised just hours before to his apostles, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So here we see the Holy Trinity working together in their natural, perfect harmony. The Father gave the Son the task of redeeming mankind. And the Son willingly took this task upon himself. And now the Holy Spirit joyfully proclaims this message to us so that we can enjoy the benefits of the Son's sacrificial death. See, the Spirit takes what is Christ, what Christ did, and he proclaims it. He declares it to you and to me. He takes the righteousness of Jesus and he instills it into the waters of holy baptism to make it a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of new birth into God's eternal kingdom. See, he takes the forgiveness of Jesus and declares it to us through the gospel and through the words of absolution. And then he presents to us the perfect body and blood given and shed for you and me on the cross to be received for the forgiveness of sins, for life and salvation in Holy Communion. So, on Good Friday, God's eyes, will they see everything necessary to save us from sin, death, and hell? Even though our own eyes look upon our own guilt, our own unworthiness, and our own impurity, the Father looks upon us and sees our sins as forgiven for Christ's sake. Forgiven for the sake of what Christ did for us. The Son then credits his own righteousness on our account. He gives us, he clothes us with his righteousness. And the Holy Spirit makes us participants in the holiness of Jesus. We are baptized into whose name? The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, baptized of God, keep this truth in your mind, in your heart, and before your eyes at all times. When God sees you, when he looks at you and me, he sees the apple of his eye. He sees his child, his beloved child, united with Christ in his death and raised up to new eternal life with him. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen. Our service continues with the bidding prayer, the prayer that is traditionally prayed on Good Friday. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Christian church, that our Lord God would defend her against all the assaults and temptations of the adversary and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ. Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety, the works of your mercy, so that your church spread throughout all the nations may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all the ministers of the word, for all the vocations in the church, and for all the people of God. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all your servants in your holy church, that every member of the same may truly serve you according to your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our catechumens, that our Lord God would open their hearts in the door of his mercy, that having received the remission of all their sins by the washing of regeneration, they may be mindful of their baptism and evermore be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and understanding of all our catechumens, that rejoicing in their new birth by the water of holy baptism, they may forever continue in the family of those whom you adopt as your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of men, and because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well all the powers that exist in all the nations of the world, we humbly pray that you would graciously, regard your servants, especially our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray our Lord God Almighty that he would deliver the world from all error, take away disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, and grant health to the sick and a safe journey to all who travel. Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God and his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and gather them into his family, the church. Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death, but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for peace, that we may come to the knowledge of God's holy word and walk before him as is fitting for Christians. Almighty and everlasting God, King of glory and Lord of heaven and earth, by whose Spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, the God of peace and author of all concord, grant us, we implore you, your heavenly peace and concord, that we may serve you in true fear, to the praise and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy and graciously grant them such things as are both needful for them and profitable for their salvation. O Almighty, everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance and may have the same love and be of one accord and one mind and heart with us and with your whole Christian church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down his blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his own good will. O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word, you created and you continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his dwelling in our hearts, we may by your grace be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth, and whatsoever pertains to our bodily need, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Finally, let us pray for all things for which our Lord would have us ask, praying the prayer that He has given us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the seven last words. The first word is from Luke chapter 23, verses 33-34. When they had come to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified Him, and the criminals, one on His right and one on His left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide His garments. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in Your sinlessness, You never needed forgiveness, and yet You forgave those who sinned against You without cause. Give us grace and courage to forgive those who wrong us, that we may so draw attention to Your forgiving glory on the cross. Amen.
Sacred head now wounded, lay down, be surrounded, Thine only crown. O sacred head, what glory! What bliss till now was Thine. Yet though despised and gory, I joy to call Thee mine.
The second word from Luke chapter 23, verses 39-43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Him, saying, Are You not the Christ? Save Yourself and us. But the other rebuked Him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. And He said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with Me in paradise. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, remember us in Your kingdom, that we too may be with You in paradise. Amen.
Strength
in this sad strife. The third word from John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, even in your death, you put those who are lonely and neglected into families. Draw many into your family, that we may praise you together with them forever. Amen. Fourth word from Mark chapter 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, you were forsaken by your Father, so that we would not be forsaken. Give us grace to rely on your complete sacrifice, that we may always trust our Heavenly Father's love for us. Amen. From the cross is from John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Jews and King of the nations, you have promised that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness would be satisfied. Give us faith to trust that your thirst on the cross supplies all that we need. Amen. With us.
Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for Thee.
The sixth word from the cross, from John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, You could have found the pain to be too much. You could have come down from the cross, but You remained until all was finished. Give us confidence to follow You completely through our trials and crosses, because You are the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. The seventh word from the cross, from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 46. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, when the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, He breathed His last. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, when You had finished all, You handed Your spirit over to Your Father, that He would then give His spirit back to You. Keep us in the one true faith, that on the last day Your spirit may be given back to our mortal bodies, and that we may rise to serve You in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. For You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be Thou my consolation when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold Thee. Mine eyes shall then behold Thee. Upon Thy cross shall dwell my heart, by faith be enfold Thee. Who dieth thus dies well. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Please stand. The Song of the Suffering Servant, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 9. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth.